Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
This morning, as we move into the message and as we begin looking at things, you're probably going, why is that brown chair and those coffee mugs up there? I will get to that in just a moment. This past week, as I was reflecting on where we were going for today's message, it's always a little bit difficult when we're not in a book of Scripture to know what the next message is going to be, unless we're doing a mini-series or something like that. But this past week on Wednesday, it just hit me what I wanted to preach on, where I felt led. And as I was doing that, I thought, you know what? We're going to just retroactively say that last week began a mini-series. We're going to call it ex post facto, post factum, belatedly announcing that last week we started a series called Resolved. And so this week our message is Resolved, and it is Live As If. And we're going to be getting into 1 John chapter 1 in just a few moments, so you can go ahead and turn your Bibles there. But as you do so, let me speak to our church members just for a moment. Church members, how many of you who are sitting here right now and you're aware that we have a member meeting at 5 o'clock, your first thought when you hear that is, yeah, no. I hear the chuckles. I'm going to be there. I would love for you to be there tonight, too. Tonight is going to be encouraging. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be recognizing some people and thanking some people. We're going to get to meet our new children's minister and her family, Stephanie Cordray. We're going to be interviewing her. Then we're going to get to hear from Braden Wallace and Adlin, interviewing them as well. And so it's going to be a really special opportunity for us this evening. And so I hope that if you came this morning aware we had a member meeting at 5 o'clock and your response was, gosh, it's getting dark so early and it's going to be cold. I know some of you go to Food Lion when you need to. So if you can make it out tonight, we would love to have you here in this room at 5 o'clock. And then those of you who are ministry leaders and small group leaders, you know that after that we're having a potluck and we'll be having a team leader meeting after the member meeting. But some of you, as we move into this message about Resolved, some of you, when you see and hear of people in your life making New Year's resolutions, you smugly think to yourself, you sad, sad little people. And you see your ministry as being steadfast, immovable. And so you sit there and you're ready to receive and grace and mercy, all of your friends and family members and loved ones, and you're ready to console them when they come crawling back to you over the broken shards of their resolutions 2 weeks later, admitting defeat. Because in your mind, you're thinking, I tried that a long time ago. I know how this goes. My New Year's resolutions, they peter out pretty quickly. And so you just think it only takes about a couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so, for the beloved, imperfect people in your life to redirect their energies back into non-radical, kind of the normalcy of apathy again. And you're ready to greet them. But here's the thing. Perhaps your attitude is a little bit like Calvin's is in the cartoon Calvin and Hobbes, and you can see it. Resolutions? Are you kidding me? Just what are you implying? That I need to change? Well, buddy, as far as I'm concerned, I'm perfect the way I am. And the reality of it all is that if you're looking for a good New Year's resolution, just living your life, let me just give you a life pro tip that I promise will change your life forever, set your hair on fire. Go to Elrod's at First and Main and order the chicken soup. I promise you, you will be amazed at the menu item that comes to you. It's fantastic. It's perfect for winter. And this is a very low shelf New Year's resolution for you. Carrie Bornstedt, who was a former church member, they moved to Lynchburg, told me and Carolyn about it years and years and years ago. So now throughout the winter, when our waiter at Elrod at North Main comes to us and he recognizes us, he knows what I'm going to order. So I'm just going to toss it out there, order the chicken soup. You'll be amazed. But more than that, as you think about being resolved as Christians, we know that sometimes we have New Year's resolutions like to get in shape, to get fit, to start doing this, to stop doing that. Sometimes our New Year's resolutions are more along the lines of just like what anyone apart from Christ may be making resolutions about. But this whole message and this series that we're going to be looking at this week and ending next week is really about, as a follower of Jesus, there comes times in your life that you have to resolve to change your behavior. That you have to resolve to change your attitude, the way you think about things. And that change comes daily, one day at a time, faithful, small steps of obedience. Sometimes as Christians, we think, yeah, I know I need to change some things about my life. But then we don't take any effort, we don't take any steps, we don't identify the next practical thing to do in order to begin adjusting our life to walk with the Lord. So this past week, this is how today's message was birthed. I was sitting in my office and I have these two brown chairs, and so I'm sitting in this brown chair next to the window, and between the two brown chairs, I have my mug collection. Now, these mugs are mugs that were in my house, but several years ago, Carolyn said, you have to get rid of these mugs. They're taking up all of our cabinets. And so she actually made me this little piece of furniture thing, not the actual wood part, but just the hooks on it. And so I've collected mugs. And so being a dude, today I was thinking, what's the easiest way to show y'all this? Because as I'm looking out my office window with my steaming cup of coffee, meditating on the beauty of the white parking lot and our beautiful dumpster that's just right outside my office window, and just reflecting on scripture. And on top of this, I have some memory verse cards from the book, from the Bible study, Experiencing God. And so I'm looking at all that, just thinking about that, and thinking, how can I get this shelf of mugs over here this morning? I thought, we have rolling carts. So I got Braden to help me, and I thought, well, it'd be much more convenient rather than taking all the coffee mugs off, just to put the whole thing with the mugs on it and transport it from the office over to here. How many of y'all think that's a great idea? Three of you. Yeah, that must be from Giles County, right? So there were three casualties on the way over here, and I just want to show them to you. I know first casualty was a Razorback mug. I knew I'd get that reaction. The other casualty was a mug that I've had for several years, and I thought, it's not special to me, so it's not a big deal, but it's from Hershey, Pennsylvania, where we went to see the Hershey factory. And if some of y'all are from Pennsylvania, many apologies, but it's broken. But Jonathan Couch, Sean's brother, actually gave me this mug, and I'm so disappointed in its breaking, but the front of it says, "No one cares, work harder." And so this one had met its maker as well. I say all that to say is that that's where I was Wednesday morning, in this brown chair, cradling a cup of coffee, and I pull out the top memory verse to review it. And it's 1 John 1:7. And this is what 1 John 1:7 says. "If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin." And as I was reflecting on that, one of the ways that I seek to try to memorize is I'll break it down and then I'll reflect on its truths and just kind of try to absorb some of the things it's saying. Because there's some really beautiful realities in that one verse. It starts off, and It just says, if we walk in the light. And so I started thinking about light because it's really a lot easier to walk in the light than in the dark, right? When you're in the dark, you can't really see where you're going. And sometimes, depending on where you're walking, you walk more slowly. You're placing your feet intentionally, especially if it's icy outside like it's been recently. But there's something about light that we associate with movement. There's something about when it gets light outside, there's the unspoken message that it's time to get up, to move, to live, to walk through life. The night is over, day has come, and so therefore activity has also come. And I love when it says, if we walk in the light, I love that word walk there. Because throughout scriptures, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the word walk is not just used of like physically walking, but the word walk is also used to indicate the lifestyle of a person. What's his walk like? Walk the walk, talk the talk. We're familiar with expressions like this. But when the New Testament uses the word walk, it's always using it as an indication of a faith-filled, joy-saturated lifestyle of a disciple of Jesus. How's your walk? How's your daily walk with Jesus? And so if we walk in the light, so there's this supposition, if we walk in the light, and then it says, as he himself is in the light. This refers, of course, that he is to Jesus. So we walk in the light, we walk toward the light, and the light is a person, the light is Jesus. In fact, in Scripture in John 8, 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And because he is the light, we can walk in his light. And as we're walking in the light of Christ, following the light of the world, we reflect his light. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus spoke to his disciples and he says, you are the light of the world. So therefore, if we're walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin, and we reflect his light to a world that is in darkness, a world that can't move around without light. They need the light of Christ. And it's profound that John the Apostle would begin his gospel in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, referring to Jesus as the light. This is what he says. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So that's where my thought processes were on Wednesday morning, sitting there cradling a cup of coffee. And my coffee is hot, but it's also really weak. And so I'm just like enjoying my little serendipitous moment in my brown easy chair. But then I began looking at that memory verse card in my hand, 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. One of my favorite verses, and perhaps a verse that you have committed to memory, is just two verses later, 1 John 1:9. So that's where my thought process was. And I realized as I thought about it, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As I sat there looking out over the dumpster and the white parking lot, I just began thinking about the truth of that verse, that if I confess my sins, God is faithful. He's righteous. And there's a promise. He will forgive me of my sins. And he will cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So I was really grateful for the cross Wednesday morning. I was really grateful for what Jesus did on the cross. Through his death and resurrection, I am forgiven. I'm free. I'm cleansed. I'm made righteous. You might remember last week when we looked at the message, I shared these verses from Romans 6. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. So you too should consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. If I confess, if you confess, he's faithful. He's righteous to forgive because he loves you so much. Isn't that what John 3:16 and other verses in Scripture promise, is that God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus? When we confess our sins, admit that we're sinners in need of a Savior, place our faith in Christ, we are saved. There's a saying, and it's not original to me, but it just goes like this, and you'll see it on the screen. Love takes the if out of life. I like that. As we're living our lives, if we'll understand how much God loves us in Christ, all of our ifs are removed. All of our wonderings, all of our uncertainties, all of our misplaced hopes, all of our failures, they're all removed. So there I was with my coffee mug thinking about 1 John 1:7, then 1 John 1:9. I thought, I should probably read just 1 John chapter 1, just those verses. What are those verses trying to say? And so I began in verse 5, and so you can follow with me here, but this is what that section says. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we're lying and we're not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say, we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world. So, man, I was just like jotting down notes and reflecting on these truths. There's a lot to believe here. Last week, we talked about the importance of this cycle: believe, behave, become. We talked about the importance of that we resolve to believe. And as you read through these truths of Scripture, we have to choose to believe these realities. We have to choose to orient our life upon these spiritual foundations. These truths are inestimable, ineffable, and invincible. So those are three good words. Let me show you. Inestimable means something that's too great or valuable to be measured or estimated. It can refer to contributions, damage, or value that can't be adequately appreciated or even calculated. But ineffable means something that's too great, powerful, or beautiful to even be expressed in words. And it's often described as indescribable or unspeakable. And then invincible means it's incapable of being defeated, overcome, or subdued. Essentially, it describes something or someone that cannot be conquered. These are the truths of God. It's God's word. It's beautiful beyond description. It never fails. It cannot be conquered. So it's not that we should demand that Scripture orient itself to our life, but that we orient our lives to the truths of Scripture. But here's something else I noticed about this section, and perhaps you noticed it too as I was reading through there. There are six ifs in this short section of Scripture. Here they are. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet we walk in darkness, we're lying and not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. See, these ifs are intentionally put in this passage of Scripture to posit the reality. What if these things aren't true or real? Or what if we behave a certain way? If we behave like this, that's the result. This means that's actually what we believe. But the ifs are put there because they're comforting. They're centering. They're actually empowering. Because these ifs should remove hangover guilt and leftover shame. They erode the very foundation of self-unrighteousness in our lives. We're no longer unrighteous people because of Jesus. We're righteous. We're made righteous. He is our perfect advocate. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so therefore, our thought process needs to get in line with His thought process. We can no longer say, well, I've not sinned. I've not done anything wrong. Because if we say those things, we reveal that we are a liar, or we're calling God a liar. So these truths set us firmly on the rock of the forgiveness of Christ Jesus. They place us in the immovable fortress of the love of God in Christ. And they propel us to joyfully witness to others about what Jesus can do for them and in them and through them. So for those of you who think you're right with God today, but God would say that you're not, because there's some issues that you need to confess before Him. For those who think you're right with God today, you might even find yourself saying, if we say we have fellowship with Him. In other words, I'm right with God. I'm in fellowship with God. And yet, if you walk in darkness, Scripture says you're lying and you're not practicing the truth. If you were to say, I'm right with God today, then you will walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light. And you'll have deep, abiding, authentic relationships with other Christians. You'll love the church. You'll be in the church. Be part of the church if you're right with God. But there may be some of you here today who are lost. That's the scriptural term sometimes for those who have never become a Christian. You've never given your life and faith to Jesus. You're still wondering about it. You're still seeking. But perhaps you're here or you're watching this morning. There's some if statements here for you today too. If you say, I have no sin, you're deceiving yourself. And the truth is not in you. If you say, well, I've not sinned, you make God to be a liar, and His word is not in you. But there perhaps are those of you here today that you've been walking in the light for years. You've been walking with God. You've been professing faith in Christ. And yet today you would say, I'm drifting or I have drifted. The intimacy. We talked about abiding in our worship song a moment ago. That abiding is not there. I need a refresh. There's some ifs here for you as well. If you confess your sin, he is faithful. He's righteous. He's just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. These are beautiful promises. So I think the encouragement today would just be in the principles, just this: live as if. Live as if. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is our Savior. All who come to Jesus by faith, confessing their sins, are forgiven, are saved, are made righteous with God because of the cross of Christ. Jesus offered his life for us on the cross to remove our ifs. He loved you so much that when he was on the cross, he declared, "It is finished." That means that there are no ifs, ands, or buts about the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. He has perfectly offered himself as the perfect sacrifice to remove all of our ifs in life so that we can rest with bedrock certainty that he can forever save those of us who place our faith in him. So here are some things to do, some things for us to do today. And I want to invite our worship team to begin making their way forward as I walk through these things. But the first thing is I would encourage you to be honest with yourself spiritually this morning. We've looked at these six ifs, and you need to read back through this passage of Scripture and say, have I been thinking like any of these ifs? Have I been thinking like, well, I'm not so bad. I haven't sinned. Remember, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. But first and foremost, it's confessing your sins before him. And he is faithful and he's righteous to forgive you of your sins. But it takes an earnest, honest, spiritual accounting of your own heart and your mind and your life. Don't deceive yourself. And don't make God out to be a liar. The second thought is that we should fellowship with God and we should fellowship with the church. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. Perhaps it's a year that you begin to say, I'm going to invest in the church. I'm going to stop seeing the church as a place to attend, the place for a Sunday service, an occasional spiritual nugget. And I'm going to see the church as Scripture describes the church, as the people of God. And I'm going to invest myself in relationships with new people in the church. I'm going to serve others in and through the church. Thirdly, it's an opportunity for us to clear your heart regularly before God. It's a daily. Spend time acknowledging that you need your Savior Jesus. Regularly keeping short accounts with him. Confessing your sins before him because he loves you. And then practically, I would say, get you a place. This, well, not here on the stage, but this is one of my places. I have this little nook in the office where I'll come and I'll sit here and I've got my cup of coffee and I've got my mugs to choose from. But I'll sit and I'll read and I'll pray and I'll journal. It's a sacred place for me. Have a couple of other places like that. But get you a place that's regular, a place that you define as this is where I meet with the Lord regularly. then get you a Bible. You might think that's pretty elementary, but I mean a Bible, like a printed Bible. Some of you have these, but like you haven't touched them in a long time, and I'm not saying that as an insult, because I know that you read your Bible on your devices probably more often than you read your printed Bibles. But perhaps this year you can renew and redouble your attention to your printed Bibles so that it's tactile, so that you can underline, so that you can remember where things sometimes are on a page, and then read it, mark it up, write it down, memorize it, then talk about it, and then rejoice daily because we have an advocate in Jesus. And finally, live as if. Live as if all of these truths are real and personal. Make them a bedrock part of your confidence as a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.